this conversation about the Juhu Temple opening, His Holiness Lokanath Swami arrived in Vrindavan and told Srila Prabhupada about his traveling with his bullock cart and visiting different holy places. And he mentioned that the weather was still pleasant, even in North India, where Vrindavan is. And the next day, Srila Prabhupada told the devotees, the leaders, that he wanted to be relieved of all responsibility and just travel by bullock cart to different holy places. At that stage, Srila Prabhupada was completely bedridden. I mean, he couldn't move. He himself said, he couldn't even move an arm without assistance. And here he was saying he wanted to do parikrama on bullock cart. So a controversy arose among the disciples. The disciples that were taking care of Srila Prabhupada personally, attending to his service, Tamal Krishna Goswami, Bhavananda Prabhu, Bhakti Churu Swami, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Swami, they all staunchly opposed the idea of Prabhupada traveling. And Lokanath Swami and Hansadutta Prabhu. Hansadutta Prabhu especially was very vocal that our duty is just to execute the order of the spiritual master. It's not our business to question his orders. And Lokanath Swami, he was very enlivened and he was eager. And Srila Prabhupada had a dream that a Kaviraj, an Ayurvedic practitioner from the Ramanuja Sampradaya, would care for him. And the devotees in Calcutta, led by Adridharana Prabhu, they found this such a person named Damodar Prasad Shastri and brought him to Vrindavan. And he was very expert. He was really amazing. And he was also very devotional. So the devotees asked him what they thought of Srila Prabhupada's traveling by bullock cart. He said he won't survive more than 2 hours. So there's this very big controversy. And Srila Prabhupada said things like, don't worry, I won't die in one day. And, I think I will be cured, said I. I think I will be cured. But even that was taken in different ways. The people on the one side, like Hansadutta Prabhu, they thought, he'll be cured. He says he'll be cured, so we have to accept it. He'll be cured. The devotees on the other side took it, yes, he'll be cured, but what does that mean? It means he's going to leave his body, get a spiritual body. That's how he'll be cured. So, like this, the discussions were going on. Loganaswamy went to Mathura and hired a bullock cart and had everything ready. And the other devotees, they were just, you know, besides themselves with worry. So finally, on maybe it was the 11th, Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, Akinchana Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj, came to visit him. Babaji Maharaj, as Srila Prabhupada told us, was a Paramahamsa, a fully liberated, self-realized soul, a disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he was always engaged in chanting the holy names. He was always blissful. So he came, and Bhakti Tru Swami thought, you know, we have to do something to dissuade Srila Prabhupada from this plan, which seemed suicidal. In fact, there was a discussion maybe that the day before, and the devotees were saying, this is suicidal. And Srila Prabhupada quoted the instance of Maricha from the Ramayana, that Ravana wanted him to come to Sita, Rama, and Lakshmana in the forest and assume the form of a deer and lure Rama and Lakshmana away from Sita so Ravana could kidnap her. So Maricha, Maricha didn't want to do that. He didn't want to go against Ram. So Ravana said, if you don't do this, I'll kill you. And Maricha considered, well, either I'll be killed by the demon Ravana or I'll be killed by the personality of Godhead Rama. So I'd rather be killed by Rama. And so he went. So Srila Prabhupada said, you know, and the devotees were saying this is suicidal. He was saying, yeah, he quoted Maricha, and he said, either I'll be killed by Ravana or I'll be killed by Ram. So better to be killed by Ram. So he was saying that lying in bed, he was like always complaining, you could say, about lying in bed and not doing anything. So that was like being killed by Ravana, just to lie in bed and go on the bullock cart. That would be like being killed by Rama. So that was what Prabhupada said. So this controversy was going on, and then Akinchana Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj came. And Srila Prabhupada said that he should be offered prasad, naturally. And Prabhupada wanted him to take right there in his room. But Bhakti Tru Swami wanted to speak with Babaji Maharaj to get him to convince Prabhupada not to go on parikrama. So he arranged for the prasad to be served in the next room, and then he spoke with Babaji Maharaj. And meanwhile, Prabhupada had spoken to Babaji Maharaj about the parikrama and invited him to come with him, and Babaji Maharaj said, yes, you would come. But then Bhakti Chusam explained the real situation. And meanwhile, Tamal Krishna Goswami and Bhavananda Maharaj, they had gone upstairs, and they were talking, like they were distraught and what to do. So almost at the same time, Babaji Maharaj came back into the room, and Tamal Krishna Goswami and Bhavananda Maharaj came down from upstairs. And Srila Prabhupada knew exactly what was going on. And he said, "So you request me not to go?" And Babaji Maharaj said, "Gee," which like saying, "Yes, Aji, yes." And so Tamal Krishna Goswami and Bhavananda Prabhu were saying, you know, they were just, there had just been so much anxiety, and people were telling them that the roads are so rough, you know, even if they put a mattress in the bullock cart, Srila Prabhupada would be jolted, and he would suffer so much pain, and even just lying in his bed, he was experiencing pain. And you know, they just couldn't see it. And Bhakti Swarup Damodar even said that people might think that we're being negligent of our spiritual master, taking him in a bullock cart in his condition, and they would blame us and criticize us. So Prabhupada said, "All right, I won't go." And that was like a great relief. And Prabhupada said, "So now you're satisfied?" And Bhavananda said, "Yes, now I am. I was in so much anxiety." And Prabhupada said to Babaji Maharaj, "My right hand and my left hand, how can I refuse?" And he said, "Just see how much love my disciples have for me." And Babaji Maharaj said, "Yes, it's amazing." So it was a very, except for maybe a few devotees on the other side, but it was a very happy occasion. And so that evening, we, you know, some devotees were staying on and massaging Srila Prabhupada. I was one of them. And, you know, Tamal Krishna Goswami said, you know, "The sons are cooperating for the service of the Father." And so during the night, I mean, I'm going to tell some things I haven't told before, but it's okay. So during the night, Srila Prabhupada made a gesture that he needed to pass urine. And somehow at that time, the more experienced caregivers were not there. And it was just me and Upendra. So Upendra indicated to me that you should put the plastic urinal bottle to Srila Prabhupada's, you know, between Srila Prabhupada's legs, so he can pass. And I did that. And, you know, I kept it there, and nothing came out. I waited longer. Still nothing came out. And I looked to Upendra, and he said, "Okay, you can just take it away." But the experience of that simple act was that I felt more purified than if I had done 1,000 archis or chanted 1,000 rounds. I was just like unbelievably purified. So that night, I took rest on the rooftop of the Gurukul building. And in the middle of the night, maybe midnight, 1 a.m, a devotee came running and like shook me, woke me up and said, "Prabhupada is calling you, Prabhupada is calling you." And so many things rushed through my mind that, you know, something wrong, is Prabhupada leaving? And I didn't know what to expect. So I quickly came down to Srila Prabhupada's room and sat near the bed, because even when Srila Prabhupada spoke, it was very soft. It was very hard to hear him, because he was so weak. And so I leaned forward to hear him. And he asked, "So, do you think this movement will go on after I leave?" And I said, "Yes, as long as the devotees are sincere and chant their rounds and follow the principles, the movement will go on." And then, you know, with great difficulty, Srila Prabhupada uttered one word: organization. And then a moment or two later, he added, "Intelligence and organization." And I thought about the significance of what Srila Prabhupada said. And I considered that, yes, for our own spiritual lives, and even to preach, we have to be sincere and chant our rounds and follow the principles. But beyond that, to spread Krishna consciousness, we have to be organized and intelligent and organized. And that was also service to Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So so then that was the 11th, night of the 11th. And on the 12th, Srila Prabhupada again brought up the idea of traveling. And, but, you know, it was not physically possible. Oh, yes. This is important. The day before, when Srila Prabhupada said to Babaji Maharaj, "My right hand and my left hand, how can I refuse?" So Tamal Krishna Goswami said, "Well, we also cannot refuse you. You know, we will take you on Parikrama to Govardhan. This is Govardhan Puja time." So Prabhupada said, "We're in Vrindavan, we must go to Govardhan and participate." So Tamal Krishna Goswami said, "You know, we will take you to Govardhan, but you just have to get a little stronger first." And the Kavi Raj had a whole program. He really was very good, and he was explaining how if Prabhupada kept following his treatment within a certain number of days, he would be strong enough to make that trip. So, Yeah, so then on the 13th, there's some interaction. One of Prabhupada's godbrothers, Swami Ban, came to visit him. And Prabhupada was just so enthusiastic to preach. And I couldn't believe it. He was literally on his deathbed. I mean, he was ready to leave his body any time, and he did 2 days later. Or 1 day later. Yeah, 1 day later. But he was showing, or having the disciples show Ban Maharaj pictures of the preaching activities around the world, and just up to the end, he was just so enthusiastic to preach. And then the next day, he didn't speak, the 14th. He said only one thing when the Kavi Raj wanted him to drink some juice. He said in Hindi, I have no desire. And then the Kavi Raj said, okay, now it's just a matter of hours, 2 or 3 hours. And the devotees opened up the doors to anyone to come in, you know, women, children, everyone came in, and they did kirtan. And then, at about 7:25 p.m., Prabhupada opened his mouth and moved his tongue. He was uttering Hare Krishna, and he left. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Well, a lot happened after that, but I want to move ahead a little to the 18th. That was 4 days after Srila Prabhupada left, because it was Prabhupada's desire to go to Govardhan. So the devotees organized a parikrama to Govardhan, and we took a small deity of Srila Prabhupada. And, one of the most memorable parts of that parikrama was when the devotees took that deity of Srila Prabhupada onto the Sangam between Radhakund and Shamakund. There's they call it the Sangam. There's a little house with Govardhan Shilas, and they did kirtan, and at that time it was just so clear to me, I can't even explain how real it was, that deity and Srila Prabhupada were the same. There was absolutely no difference. That was Prabhupada. That Prabhupada was there. And I thought of what Tamal Krishna Goswami said, that you know, we will take you to Govardhan, and even said, Krishna will make our words come true. And then another little thing, little or big, whatever. So we went to Kusum Sarovara, and it's a very nice lake, little lake, and very nice architecture, devotees were, they're jumping in the water and frolicking and swimming. And they had music amplified very nicely. I don't know how they did it, but it was just booming all over that area. The devotees had arranged that, and it came to it started to play what we call the the Bundy Hum album. It was a very early album that Srila Prabhupada recorded, maybe in 1968. And I used to listen to that in Boston, and I loved that album. And then when that music came on, it was just too much. So, then we, so Srila Prabhupada had instructed, he instructed us about his samadhi, that all was done. And then he wanted some flowers taken from his samadhi to Mayapur. And that is the basis of Pushpa Samadhi. Pushpa means flower. So Tamal Krishna, Bhavananda, other devotees and I, so we took the flowers. We stopped in Calcutta. And, you know, so many, of course, everyone was lamenting, like we were singing. And Srila Prabhupada's son and daughter from his previous ashram came, and someone asked, you know, now that Prabhupada is gone, who's going to speak to us about Krishna? And Tamal Krishna Goswami looked at me and said, that is a very good question. I mean, we would speak, but it wasn't the same as Prabhupada speaking. I mean, he was really speaking about Krishna. Then we went to Mayapur. We did the Pushpa Samadhi ceremony, and then we came to Juhu for the opening of the temple. So this so coming back to the controversy among the disciples, so this was a question in my mind, although in a way personally I was closer to the devotees who were serving Srila Prabhupada, you know, Tamal Krishna Goswami, Bhavananda Prabhu Bhakti Chru Swami. But these are all very senior devotees and respected devotees. And so it was really on my mind, you know, did we do the right thing? You know, because even after Prabhupada left, the controversy went on. You know, Hansaduta Prabhu, Lokanath, they felt strongly that we should have honored Prabhupada's will and taken him on parikrama. And he said, rest assured, I will not die in a day. I will be cured. So it was really on my mind. And 2 days after Prabhupada left, it was my practice, you could say, of course when Prabhupada wasn't there, to chant japa in his room. And probably many of you have seen his room in Vrindavan. And so behind his bed, there's an area with bookshelves. That's a little. So I went into that area to chant. And 2 weeks before Prabhupada left, a devotee named Chitsukananda had come from America to Vrindavan and brought Srila Prabhupada some new publications. And they were specially. The volumes are specially prepared for Srila Prabhupada with gold embossing. Now, this was all gold. So I was sitting behind Prabhupada's bed in that area chanting, and my eyes fell on the new volume of Srimad Bhagavatam that had just come. And I opened it up, and it opened to a verse that I will read you now. What a coincidence. Well, we can chant it. We have a few minutes. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I'll just read the Sanskrit. Evam sandarshita yanga harina britya vasyata savasena pi krishnena vasedam sesvaram vashe. Translation. O Maharaj Parikshit, this entire universe with its great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Indra is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet the Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute. He comes under the control of his devotees. This was now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime. And I related this to what happened with Srila Prabhupada, that he, you could say, voluntarily came under the control of his devotees. And it's really not exactly that he comes under the control of their devotees. I mean, even with Krishna, it's not exactly that he comes under the control of his devotees, but he comes under the control of their love. And so I thought, oh, this is what happened. Srila Prabhupada came under the control of the love of his devotees. And so he didn't go on the parikrama. And to my mind, this satisfied that doubt or that question that I had. And there's a further meaning. Can someone give me? I could paraphrase it, but the Damodar Astakam. We had a little different translation back then, but this will be all right. So, text 3. Those super excellent pastimes of Lord Krishna's babyhood drowned the inhabitants of Gokul in pools of ecstasy. To the devotees who are attracted only to his majestic aspect of Narayan in Vaikuntha, the Lord herein reveals, I am conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. To the Supreme Lord Damodar, my obeisance is hundreds and hundreds of times. So, I also saw this as relevant. Of course, with the spiritual master, there's always an element of awe and reverence. With Krishna and his devotees in Vrindavan, There is no unreverence. It's just pure love without, it's called Kevala Bhakti. It's pure love without any awareness of his opulence and majesty. But with the spiritual master, there is always awareness of his position as spiritual master. But still, Srila Prabhupada was drawing out of his devotees during those final days that pure love for him that enabled them to express themselves, you know, in a very heartfelt, personal, intimate way that, you know, please stay with us, don't go, please don't go. You know, we love you, we want you to stay with us. And Srila Prabhupada had said to Babaji Maharaj, just see how much my disciples love me. And there was a somewhat similar incident a few months earlier when Srila Prabhupada seemed to be very, not just close to leaving, but like almost like he was preparing to leave. He stopped drinking water, and he had told his he had told the devotees that his father, when his father was ready to leave, he had stopped drinking water, of course, stopped eating, stopped drinking water, and that was how he left. So Prabhupada, he didn't make any announcement or anything, but he just stopped drinking water. And Prabhupada's servant Upendra, very sweet devotee, very innocently said, Srila Prabhupada, you have to drink. You know, if you don't drink, you'll become dehydrated. And Prabhupada said, oh, you want me to drink water? He said, yes. And Prabhupada said, call the GBC. It was not a small matter. It was not a small matter. So Abhiram Prabhu was there. He went and called the GBC. All the GBC and senior devotees came. And Prabhupada, he said, of course, if I'm to survive, I will have to drink water. But my living means so many inconveniences. So, you know, let me die in peace, more or less. So up until then, the whole mood set by Srila Prabhupada was whatever Krishna desires. You know, if Krishna wants me to stay, I will stay. If Krishna wants me to go, I will go. Because we had heard from Srila Prabhupada that his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, had left earlier because he was disgusted with his disciples, some of his disciples. So we asked Srila Prabhupada if that was the case with him. And he said, no, if I'm allowed to stay longer in your company, I will be very happy to stay with you. So the mood had been all along, whatever Krishna wants. But now, when the devotees brought up that idea, whatever Krishna wants, Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna has given me the choice. And that was a very radical statement. And it also, Maheshwara Prabhu, that's not just plain water. I just want you to know that. But I'm sure if you want some plain water, we can arrange it. So Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna has given me the choice. And that was very shocking statement to us. So Prabhupada said, so you discuss amongst yourselves and tell me. So all the devotees left Prabhupada's room and met in the ante room in the house in Vrindavan. And Kirtanananda Swami was very lucid. And he said, if Krishna has given Prabhupada the choice, and if Prabhupada is giving us the choice, then we should ask him to stay. And everyone agreed, yes, yes. If he's giving us, the choice, we should ask him to stay. And then some devotee said, but not all the GBC are here. And great Brahmananda, said, come on, what GBC is going to say they want Prabhupada to go? So the group went back into Prabhupada's room, and Prabhupada said, so you have discussed? Yes. And actually, Kirtanananda was chosen to be the spokesperson. He was the senior most. But he started weeping. He couldn't speak. And Brahmananda Prabhu is behind him, rubbing his back. And then Kirtanananda said, if Krishna's given you the choice, and if you're giving us the choice, then don't leave. And Prabhupada said, is this the decision of all of you? He said, yes, we've all discussed and we all have agreed that we want you to stay. And then Prabhupada's almost with a yawning, like, all right. Like Satsarupa Maharaj said, it was like the most matter-of-fact decision of life or death ever. All right. And then he drank. Then he had juice, and then he stayed on with us. And so Srila Prabhupada was drawing out our love and encouraging us to express our love for him. Not in a sentimental way, but in a deep spiritual way. And so I related this to the Damodar Leela, and especially the idea that to those devotees who are overwhelmed with conceptions of the Lord's opulence and majesty, Krishna showed that he's overwhelmed and conquered by pure loving devotion. And I believe that Srila Prabhupada also, as Krishna's representative, demonstrated that same quality. So now, 40 years later, we're in the same position in a way that with our love, not that we can bind Srila Prabhupada, but in a way we can bind him in our heart. By our love and our desire for him to stay and be with us, we can create such a situation that he will manifest himself and be with us. And although in a way it's not exactly the same, because once Srila Prabhupada, I don't know if Prabhupada initiated the topic or what a disciple did. But the idea, reading the book Bhagavat or serving the person Bhagavat, one gets the same result. And so one devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, is it like that? You get the same result? And Prabhupada said, no, not exactly, because when you serve the person Bhagavat, he can pull you by the ear. So, but even then, if we want Prabhupada to pull our ear, if we need it, he'll arrange. But yes, that is that's our desire, and that is our prayer. That by our mood of service and surrender and desire for Prabhupada to be present with us, he will be. He is, and he will manifest his presence to us. Hare Krishna. So we have a few minutes if anyone wants to ask or add. Yes, Bhargava Prabhu. Oh, wait, who raised over there? Mike? Well, I'll repeat it. Our time is short, so I'm saying I will repeat in the microphone the question. Oh, anyway, now it's come.
Oh, I didn't understand. First of all, thank you for your service to Prabhupada at that time. It would have broken my heart to be there. I was in Brazil. For me, he was my generalissimo, my Napoleon, and it would have just destroyed me. So thank you for that personal service to Prabhupada. Mm. But it was just an insight. Prabhupada wanted to go to Govardhan.
Yes.
And it just occurred to me, years ago I was in Vrindavan and I was hanging with Ugrasena, an Australian devotee. And Prabhupada liked him. And Prabhupada likes everybody, of course, but he used to take Prabhupada for rides. You know, Prabhupada had a curious side, too, when he'd go to different places. And he said that white plastic bag that Prabhupada, vinyl bag that Prabhupada had, he actually had Govardhan Sheelas in them. I didn't know if you knew that. That's
really?
What he told me.
I didn't know that.
And Prabhupada was very protective about, you know, when he'd go through customs, you know, they check your... He wouldn't, like, let the devotees see what was inside the bag. Anyway, I don't know. This is what he told me. So I thought it was an interesting insight because he did want to go to Govardhan. And I guess he had worshipped Govardhan all his life, so...
Very interesting.
Yeah, you have to ask Ugrasena if you come across him.
Okay. Amarendra Prabhu?
After Prabhupada promised the GBC and everybody that he wasn't going to leave, what did you all do later on when it became imminent? Did anybody remind him? Prabhupada, you promised to stay. Why are you leaving? What happened at that stage?
Well... As one legal brain to another, after Srila Prabhupada agreed to stay, he added a caveat, or not exactly sure that's the right word, but he said, but still, everything should go on normally. So, I mean, no one said that. And I don't think anyone... It was very deep what was going on, and it was obviously... It was between Prabhupada and us. It was also between Prabhupada and Krishna. And, at that time, Krishna took him. Yeah. But when you meet Prabhupada, You can ask him.
Somebody's going to have to get here first because it's been a long time before out there.
Thank you. And it's such a basic truth, but I'm thinking of Srila Prabhupada's own dedication to Srimad Bhagavatam, to his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. So that is... We can realize the presence of the spiritual master through following his instructions. And that's why we're all here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.
So reminder, Prabhus, now we're going to be having Abhishek of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, and that'll go on until 10 a.m. and at 10 a.m. we'll begin the homages. So if you would like to say a few words, we have a limited amount of times and limited amount of again space to get all of this in, so please let me know at 10. Thank you.